Well, we've gone through, together, we've gone through the story of the Shunammite woman. Last week, we concluded the story as we saw that the Shunammite woman, she took possession. We saw that her son's life was restored as she took possession of the promise that God had for her. So the story ends of the Shunammite woman. Or not quite. So how many of you guys got the Donna's email that there was one more chapter? All right. I'm not going to ask if you had a chance to read it, because we're going to go through it together. It's the first six verses. But before we go through that, I want to have you look at a couple other verses. We keep going back to Hebrews, because Hebrews shows us so much about faith. I want to look at Hebrews chapter 6, two verses. And as we read these verses, in verses 11 and 12, I want you to think about these verses. Keep them in the back of your mind as we go through the story, the final chapter of the Shunammite woman's faith. Think about these two verses. Hebrews 6, verses 11 and 12. Hebrews. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the problems. We are supposed to be moving forward with diligence, full assurance, all the way to the end. This is what faith is. That's what we saw from the Shunammite woman. She did not give up. What did I say? I said what? I said inherit the problems. Yeah, it's okay to reject what I just said. Then you don't have to receive that. Did everybody in the room pick that up except for me? Is there a do-over we can do? Can we go? Let's go back to the praise and worship songs. All right. We'll read it again so that's right. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you may not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience, I'm being cautious now, inherit the promises. That's what the Shunammite woman did. She didn't inherit problems. She inherited the promises of God. So now, just think back. As we go back over all these last 7 weeks, and I'm going to be nervous all morning long thinking about what I'm saying. As we go back over these last 7 weeks, I mean, think about all the different things that we've learned. Think about all the things we've learned about faith. So let's imitate those things in our lives that we've learned. And let's not be sluggish. Let us be quick to move forward, as the Shunammite woman did. Let us be quick to move forward in our faith, and faith that never gives up. Until you see the promises come to pass, you never give up, and you never quit. Now, let's look at the story, the final story. 2 Kings chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. So we're just four chapters ahead of where we've been reading. Everybody there? Then Elijah spoke to the woman whose son had restored to life, saying, "Arise and go, you and your husband, and say, wherever you go, for the Lord has called for a famine. And furthermore, it will come upon the land for 7 years." So the woman arose and did according to the saying of the man of God, and she went into the household of faith. Am I reading something wrong again? Okay. Am I? Somebody want to be responsible for Dave for actually reading the word? Because I can teach the word to you, but apparently I need someone else to read the word to us. All right, keep in mind what you see in the word as opposed to what I might say. I have no idea where I just left off. Let's go to verse number 2. So the woman arose and did according to the saying of the man of God. And she went with her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. It came to pass at the end of 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines. And she went to make an appeal to the king for her house and for her land. Then the king talked with Gehazi. Gehazi never leaves our attention, does he? Then the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, "Tell me, please, all the great things Elijah has done." Now it happened, as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead to life, that there was the woman whose son he had restored to life, appealing to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, "My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elijah restored to life." And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, restore all that was hers and all the proceeds of the field from that day, from the day that she left the land until now. What a great story that is. I mean, if we do nothing else but just contemplate in our own minds what that story says, how awesomely faithful is God to take care of the things, the details, great and small, in our lives. Now, as we're looking at this, there's one constant. I want to start here. There's one constant that we see in the chapters between the story that we just looked at all these past weeks from 2 Kings chapter 4 and this chapter we're looking at today, 2 Kings chapter 8. There's one constant in all of those chapters, and it's that there was famine in the land. Two times in those few chapters, we see that famine is mentioned. And we see that it's a major theme in all the stories. And now they're faced with an even greater famine that's being put upon them. Now, as we read this, we're not told that anyone else is given any warning about this coming famine. Only the one that we see who is operating in faith is the only one that we see is given any warning about this famine which is coming. Now, for you and I just want to take a sidestep because this is a great story, but we always have to remember that what we have in Jesus Christ is far more than anything that they had in the Old Testament. So here's God, because she's operating in faith, and he's giving her warning about a coming famine. What you and I have so much better. We have the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us every single day. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us, and the Holy Spirit is guiding us and is preparing us for all the things that lay in front of us that we can't even see. This is what the Holy Spirit does for us. We need to learn to make sure that we listen, we hear, and that we obey when we hear. Now, I want to talk about famine a little bit because obviously, famine is a big part of this story. And as I said, famine's been a big part of what's taking place since we saw the end of the story we concluded last week. So what does famine have to do with you and I? How does that relate to us in our lives today? Well, famine was used in the Old Testament. Famine was used, one of the things that God used, to bring about punishment, judgment, and correction upon his people. That's what famine was for. So obviously, famine was when there was a drought in the land. And as a result of having a drought, you're going to have a shortage of food and sustenance as well. So that's what famine is. It was used by God, one of the things he used, to bring about that correction and that reproof, punishment even, to his people. That's what famine was for. But famine in the Old Testament also had another meaning. It had a spiritual meaning. Famine in the Old Testament also meant an absence of the Word of God in the people. So remember that. We're going to come back to that in a second. But that's the spiritual meaning of famine. Now, in the Old Testament, God used famine to bring about reproof and correction for his people. But that's not what he does in the New Covenant. In the New Covenant, it's an entirely different set of standards. In the New Covenant, God doesn't correct us, and God doesn't reprove us by any kind of famine or disasters or bad things that he brings to our life. God corrects us, and he tells us, he corrects us, he reproves us by his word. This is what it says to us in 2nd. You're going to see that most of the verses are 2nd something. We're in 2nd Kings. We were in 2nd Kings. This is 2nd Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. I'm going to read this to the Amplified Bible, but I want you to look and find it in your Bible, because this is one of those verses that's so important for us to remember. In our lives, so many times it's easy. When bad things happen, when struggles come in our lives, it is so easy for us sometimes to think in our minds, because this is what religion tells us, and this is what the enemy of your soul wants you to think. It's easy for us in our minds to think that God is bringing this disaster or this difficulty in my life to show me or to teach me or to do something. This is not how God brings correction. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof, and conviction of sin. How does God convict us of sin? Through the word of God. How does God correct us? Through the word of God. How does God instruct us? Through the word of God. He convicts us in all these things through the word of God, for correction of error, and discipline and obedience, and for the training in righteousness and holy living in conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, and action. So God's In the Old Testament, famine was one of the things that was used for God to bring correction and reproof. But that's not the new covenant that we have, so rejoice in that. God did use, but he does not use today, famine or bad things in our lives to teach you or to correct you. He uses the Word of God. Now, we could teach that. I mean, that's a subject all in and of itself, but I want you to see that today. Does that make sense to everybody? So don't get yourself all condemned when something bad happens and say, well, this came upon me because of something that I did. That's not what the Word of God says. That's not how God teaches us and corrects us. Now, remember I said, remember about the spiritual meaning of famine. God doesn't correct us by bringing famine in our lives. But you know what? You and I can impose famine in our own lives. We can bring famine in our lives, and we bring famine in our lives when the Word of God is absent in our lives. When the Word of God is not in our lives, it is bringing that famine and that dryness into our own lives. What does the Word tell us about faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we have the faith of Jesus Christ already invested in us. We've learned that over the last few weeks. But how that faith is utilized, how that faith is built up, it's by the Word of God. So we can impose famine in our own lives by having the Word absent in our lives. And here's the other thing. If we don't have the Word of God, if the Word of God becomes absent in our lives, one of the results of that is we don't get that guidance, that gentle guidance in our lives from God. We don't get that loving direction, that loving correction, that loving instruction, that loving discipline, and that loving training that leads us to where he needs us to go, and we can have that fulfillment. We lose those things when the Word of God is not, when the Word of God is absent in our lives. So when we read this story and we see the whole thing is centered on famine, understand what famine meant then, but also don't lose track of what it means in our lives as well. But it's us that imposes famine, not God. So we need to keep our focus. That's good encouragement for us to make sure that we keep our focus on the Word of God every day. And there's every excuse in the world that every one of us can have for why we don't have time today to have the Word of God. Well, if you feel like your life is dry and you feel like that faith, that knowing, that knowledge, that faith is not growing, and if you feel like you're not getting that loving, gentle direction in your life that you need, it's not God's fault. It's me that's imposed the famine in my own life because I'm the one that chose not to have, I chose to have that word absent in my life. That got everybody really, really quiet. All right, verse number 2. So the woman arose and did according to the saying of the man of God. And she went with her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. This is faith in action. Now, as we saw in the last couple of weeks, this is obviously a well-to-do family. They are well off. And when they leave, now she's listening to the Word of God and she's leaving. When they leave, they're leaving behind their wealth. And they're leaving behind, beyond that, they're leaving behind their ability to gain wealth. Because they're leaving, they are abstaining, they are leaving the land, the very land, they're abdicating the land from which their wealth has come from. But this is what faith does, and this is an example for us from her of faith. Faith hears, faith obeys, and faith acts. She heard, she obeyed, and she acted. Also consider, you know, for those of you that have been here for the last number of weeks as we've been talking about that story, and you remember the story, consider the change that we see here. Consider the change that took place in her husband. Because when we saw her husband before, remember, when she was going through her faith action, she didn't tell her husband that their son had died. Because he was wondering, when she asked for things, he's wondering why she's going to see the man of God. Because the religious person only sees the man of God on the days of the ritual things. Now let's go back and look at exactly what it said. Go back to 2 Kings chapter 4. This is in verses 22 and 23. I told Tony when I was sending him all these scriptures for this week, I said, I think this is probably the most scriptures that I've actually had for us. So this is like 15 or 14 scriptures that we have to go through this morning. So I told Tony, nobody can say we're not getting the Word of God when you're here. I'm teaching you things, and I'm giving you the word that comes along with it. Okay, so in 2 Kings 4:22 and 23, you may remember this. Then she called to her husband, so her son is already dead. She called to her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. So he said, why are you going to him today? It's neither the new moon or the Sabbath. And she said those great words of faith, it is well. You can see a difference in her and in him. He was not a man of faith. He was a religious man. He was not a man that was operating in faith. At that first story, four chapters ago, he was a man that was trusting in self for his own success. And look at the change in him now. Now, at the word of God, at the mere word of God, he's willing to leave behind everything that has established success for him. He's leaving it all behind. He's changed because he's seen the power of God in operation through his wife's faith. There's a difference that's there in him. And we need to take note of that. When we have that clinging to the word kind of faith that we see in the Shunammite woman, when we have that clinging to the word kind of faith that sees supernatural manifestations and supernatural evidence of his faithfulness, when we have evidence of that, the world will take note of it. Even those who are religious will see the power of God in action, and they will hunger for it. If you're wanting to change the culture that is around you, if you want to change the culture that is around you, then cling to the word of God in faith as she did. Let us not be sluggish. Let us imitate the faith and the faith that we see in her. Verse number 3. And it came to pass at the end of 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to make an appeal to the king for her house and for her land. So 7 years have gone by. And so for 7 years, God has faithfully been providing for the Shunammite woman and for her family. And God's been faithfully providing for the Shunammite woman and her family while the rest of Israel was suffering under the judgment of famine. When we operate in faith, this same kind of faith of the Shunammite woman, when we operate in faith, it doesn't matter what the world experiences, because you experience the promises, the good things of God. You experience his sufficiency and his faithfulness. Because we're not citizens of this world. We learned this a year ago, for those of you that were here. We learned this a year ago. Our citizenship is not here. Our citizenship is in heaven. So your life doesn't reflect what happens in the world. Your life and my life reflect all of the promises that are already established for us in the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, everything that you need with abundance, more than you need, is already available to you. This is what is ours. So the Shunammite woman and her family, they leave behind that which they leave behind their source there in the world, their source in the natural. And they put all of their confidence and all of their trust in the provision of God and the provision of God himself. Don't be sluggish in faith. This is the faith that we're supposed to imitate. This is the faith that we should see and that others should see demonstrated in us. Now, it was also interesting to me to note that it says that she came out of the land of the Philistines. We haven't talked about that, but think about that for a second. The Philistines are like the mortal enemies of God's people. And yet God is using the Philistines to meet the needs to provide sustenance and life for those who are trusting in his word and operating in faith. That's really interesting. God will use people that you would never suspect to meet your needs. God will use people that aren't even serving him. God will use people that are of the world. God will use the wicked to meet your needs. That's really encouraging. Because if you're thinking, I don't have enough, well, guess what? There's plenty in the world, and it's set for you. There's a verse, if you look in Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 22, I say this a lot. This is a favorite verse of mine, because I love the promise that's there. We'll look at the whole verse, but I really just want to focus on the second half of Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 22. I don't have to tell you how to get to Proverbs. Proverbs is one of those that's easy to find. So Proverbs 13, 22, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Here. But the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. The wealth of the wicked is stored up and laid up for you. So if you're looking at your problem and you see what your need is, and the physical appearances tell you that it's impossible, if the physical appearances say your need cannot be met, don't worry. No worries. Because the wealth of the world, the wealth of the wicked, is laid up and stored up for you. All we have to do is put ourselves in God's economy. And we do that by operating in faith. Don't be sluggish. Imitate the things of faith that we've seen. So now here she is coming back 7 years after the fact. She's coming back 7 years later, and she's going to make an appeal to the king for the land, for her family's land, that it would be returned back unto her because they've essentially abdicated the land for 7 years. Now, the important thing to realize is that the land is theirs. God gave it to them. So when she comes back, she doesn't have to beg God for what is hers. This is important for us to remember. There's a lot of times that we wind up begging God for things that are already ours. He's already given them to us. See, she understands and she knows some of these promises, and she knows this quintessential promise that when God has given something, it is theirs. So God gave them the land. She doesn't have to beg God for the land. All she has to do is take faith action, and she does that by going to the king. When she goes to the king, God takes care of everything else, and he does it in stunning fashion that we could never even think of or plan. She takes faith action. She goes to the king. God takes care of everything else because the land is already hers. When God gives you a gift, now listen to this. When God gives you a gift, it is yours forever. And if somebody takes it away, it is yours forever. The gift that God gives belongs to you. Now again, I hate to keep going back and referring to in the past, but last February, if you were here, we talked about this. We learned about these principles because we were talking about the year of Jubilee. And the year of Jubilee for the Jews was every 50 years. And basically the two principles that I want us to remember for this morning about the year of Jubilee is in the year of Jubilee, everything went back to its original owner. That's important. And the second thing to remember, the second principle is when God gives a gift, he gives it for all time. So this is why the Shunammite woman, this is why in the story we just concluded, this is why the Shunammite woman could claim, she could claim and lay hold of the gift of her son even when he was dead. Because the gifts that God gives are forever. This is the mindset that we need to have in whatever it is that are the promises that we see here in the Word of God. Because all the promises that are here, if any of these promises are not evident in your life, guess what? They're yours, and they're yours forever. And this is also true for the land. And I'm going to look at another verse because what God gives, he gives forever. In the Word of God, when he divided the land, he gave it as an inheritance to the people. She knew that that land was hers. She's not begging God for it. She's just taking faith action and letting God take care of the rest. If you go back in the book of Numbers, you don't have to go there if you don't want to, but I just want you to see this. You'll see it appear. This is Numbers chapter 36, verse number 7. And this is God giving his promise to the Israelites that the land that is theirs, the inheritance that is theirs, it stays with them. This is the promise that she knew and that she could hold on to. So the inheritance of the children of Israel shall not change hands from tribe to tribe. For every one of the children of Israel shall keep the inheritance of the tribes of his father. God is saying that the land that I've given stays. And that was the whole purpose of the year of Jubilee, every 50 years. If the land was taken out or the land was lost somehow, at the end of 50 years, it goes back to the original owner. Because that's the way that God established it. When God gives gifts, He gives them forever. And they are yours forever. They remain with you forever. So even though the land that was their property, even though they lost it because they abdicated it, even though somebody else had it, and maybe it was the king himself, I don't know. Even though somebody else had the land, you still see in this whole story, you see that God is enforcing His promises. If we will just operate and stand in faith, God does all the work to enforce His promises. We make it hard. It's really not that difficult. It's easy. This is what God does. And again, remember, we have better promises than what she had. Jesus is your Jubilee. Every day is the year of Jubilee for you and I as believers in Jesus Christ. And at the year of Jubilee, everything goes back to its original owner. So right now, if there's anything in your life that Satan has put in your life that is not good, and remember, if there's something not good or something bad in your life, God didn't put it there. He's not using it to somehow correct us. We already learned that's not how God corrects us. So if there's something that's bad in your life that Satan has put there, it doesn't belong to you. Send it back to the original owner. Send it back to Satan. It belongs to him. And then conversely, whatever good things are yours that God has given to you, whatever those good things are, if you've lost them for any reason, be it your finances, your health, your employment, or whatever it might be, they belong to you and they will come back to you. We just have to follow the example. We have to be not sluggish, but be imitators of those who are living and demonstrating faith, as we see in this Shunammite woman. That should be a big amen. Amen. Verse number 4. I almost wore myself out on verse number 3. We're only halfway through. Verse number 4. Then the king talked to Gehazi. I love the fact that Gehazi never goes away. The world never goes away. So the king is talking to the man of God, to the servant of the man of God. Tell me, please, all the great things Elijah has done. This is where the story starts to get stunning to me. Because look at the timing of God in her life that she can't even begin to see or know. When we operate in God's faith, you may not see all the things that God is doing to resolve the issues in your life and bring deliverance. You may not see them, but you just have to know that He's doing them. That's what faith is, and this is the beautiful example of it. It just so happened that as she is returning after 7 years, that as she is returning to make an appeal to the king, it just so happens that the king is talking to Gehazi, the servant of Elijah. Well, why? Why is the king of Israel talking to Gehazi? First of all, he's a king. Gehazi is just a servant of a prophet that the king doesn't even respect, or hasn't. And the second point, thank you, exactly right, Suze. That's part of the excitement. That's good. That's the second thing. In these verses that we haven't seen, verses 5, 6, and 7, he's actually got leprosy. What is the king doing talking to someone that has leprosy? And it's not like the king is on any kind of friendly terms with Elijah. He's not. In fact, we're going to go back again. 2 Kings, go back a little bit further. 2 Kings chapter 3. Because I want you to see the heart of Elijah, the man of God, for the king of Israel. This is not a friendly relationship. 2 Kings 3, this is verses 13 and 14. Susie's getting excited. She's looking ahead and seeing the word. Then Elijah said to the king of Israel, "What have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother." He's basically saying, go to the false prophets of your mom and dad, Ahab and Jezebel. What have I to do with you? And if you skip down from there, go to start of verse number 14. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. That's not a friendly relationship. And yet, look how God works things together that we don't even see or realize. Here in this story, in this verse we just read, verse 4 of 2 Kings chapter 8, here's the king and his heart is open to hear about the power of God. Now remember, he just went through 7 years of famine. He just went through 7 years of correction, reproof, and conviction of sin. But he is open to hear about the power of God. And at the moment that the woman that we've been talking about, at the moment she arrives, the king is asking Gehazi about what are the great things that God has done through the man of God, Elijah. It gets more stunning. Let's look at verse number 5. 2 Kings 8, 5. Now it happened as he was telling the king, so Gehazi. Now it happened as he was telling the king how he had restored life to the dead, that there was the woman whose son he'd restored to life, appealing to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, "My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elijah restored to life." God works things together for our good. Whether we see it or not, he works things together for our good. This is why we operate in faith. This is why we should not be sluggish, but imitate those who operate in faith to inherit those promises. This is why we operate in faith. Look what God has done. He's brought the people together at the right place, at the right time, with the right frame of mind. Who can do that except for God? And Gehazi is there, and he's talking to the king, and he's telling the king the story of the Shunammite woman that we just spent 7 weeks looking at. And he's telling the king about the story. And as he's telling the story, in walks the woman herself and her son with her. My goodness, she's been gone. No one has seen her for 7 years. And then at the precise moment that Gehazi is talking to the king about it, she walks in. God works everything together in ways. Listen, if you're believing and trusting God in faith for something and you don't see it, it doesn't matter whether you see it. You just have to know it, because we can see all the things that are taking place that God is doing that we can't see. But look how awesome that was. Look how awesome those verses were. I mean, look how great that story is. That is encouraging. Yeah, there's probably a lot of better examples than this one that I'm about to give you. But does anybody know what BCSN is? Okay. BCSN is like that local 24-hour sports station. And it started about almost 11 years ago now. So when it started, I was working at Yes FM. But for almost my entire life, I've almost always had a second job, because before I got saved, I had spent years preparing myself to go into sports broadcasting. And my first job in radio was actually in sports broadcasting before I got saved. And then after I got saved, all I wanted to do was serve him. But this is just how awesome God is, that God knows our hearts and how he takes care of things. And I want you to see how he took care of something that I could never have seen. I would never have been able to work this out myself. So I heard that BCSN was starting, and I'm thinking, I've got like 8 years of play-by-play experience on the radio. I'm thinking there can't be that very many people in Toledo that have 8 years of radio sports broadcasting play-by-play. So I have no idea how to apply. So I saw something in the newspaper. I followed their instructions and waited. Heard nothing. Well, a good friend of mine, you might not think he's a good friend of this, but a good friend of mine who I'd actually done sports broadcasting with for a number of years, he got a job at BCSN. And I said, good, can you put in a word for me or tell me who I need to contact? And he said, no. I just got this job. I'm not taking any chances. You're going to have to figure this out for yourself. I said, you won't even give me a name of a contact person? Nope, you're on your own. So, as I continued to try to work this out in my own strength and abilities, a young guy that worked at Yes FM, it just so happened that his best friend growing up is the son of the guy who's the decision maker for BCSN. And I had told him my frustration. He said, I'll talk to my friend. I'll tell my friend to tell his dad that you're going to call. I'll get the number. I'm thinking, this is great. What an open door this is. This is better than my friend. So I get the telephone number. I get the name. I call and I leave a message. Days go by. I hear nothing. I call again, leave another message. Nothing. And I'm getting really discouraged because I said to Donna, I just can't believe that there's that many people in Toledo that have as much experience that they wouldn't even call me back. And Donna said to me, she said, Todd, if it's supposed to be, let God handle it. Take your hand. You've done all you can do. Take your hands off it and just let God handle it. And once again, the wisdom of my wife, I said, you know what? That makes sense. And there's nothing else I can do. So I just let it go. Didn't think about it. Well, there's a guy that I had used to do some sports broadcasting with that it was just difficult. It was not the best situation for me. And so he had called and he said, would you do this one game for me? And I said, I'm not really interested. And he said, I'm really in a desperate spot. I just need you to do this one game. I said, no, I don't think so. And that's not like me. If you know me, I'm pretty much, you know, I just want to make people happy. Oh, sure, I'll do that. I didn't really want to do that. And he said, just do this one thing for me. I won't ask you again. I said, all right, I'll do it. So it's this big event for Martin Luther King Day. There's these two big high school basketball games. And 2 days after I said I would do it, I get a phone call at Yes FM. I get a phone call from this lady from BCSN. And she said, I see that your name is listed as you're going to be doing the game, this game coming up in 2 days. I said, yes. She said, can you tell me who I need to contact? Because we want to do some of those games too, but I don't have a contact name. I said, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm just the talent. I don't know any of that. I just show up. You're going to have to talk to this guy. So she said, okay, I'll do that. She said, by the way, I see your name is Todd Hostetler. Are you the same Todd Hostetler that used to work at WJYM Radio? Now, that was, at that point, probably like 7 years in my past. And I said, yeah, yes, I am. She said, well, my name is so-and-so. And my family, do you remember my family? My family loved you. We'd listen to you all the time. I said, oh, yeah, I remember. How's so-and-so? How's so-and-so? So we're talking, and she said, so you do sports broadcasting? Sure. She said, would you do broadcasting for BCSN? I think I could do that. She said, would you be available to do some games starting next week? Pretty sure I can do that. So the amazing thing is I did everything that I could and nothing worked for me. And yet as Don has said, when I took my hands off it and I just trusted him, if it's supposed to be, it's going to be. God used a person in my life that I didn't even get along with. And God used that person to give me this one opportunity and put everything together. So we can't see all the things that God is doing in our lives. But as Christians, as believers, as followers in him, we just have to know that he's doing those things. Amen? All right, verse number 6. And when the king asked the woman, she told him, so the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, restore all that was hers. Did I say something wrong again? Okay. A little self-conscious. Okay. Hallelujahs are fine. And when the king asked her, she told him, and the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, restore all that was hers and all the proceeds of the field from the day from the day that she left the land until now. That's amazing. Not only is God restoring the land that was lost, but God is also making sure that she has returned to her all the productivity, everything that that land produced during the 7 years of the famine. Now, did you catch that? Her land is producing in the famine. When all the rest of Israel is shrinking under the famine, her land is still producing. Now, you might say to yourself, well, if her land is producing, why did God send her away to the Philistines? Well, look, we have no idea what kind of civil unrest was going to be taking place, but this is what we know. God protected her. God took care of her during the time of the famine, and God provided for her needs afterwards, even though she didn't see it or realize it in all those 7 years that she was in the land of the Philistines. God is faithful to take care of things whether we see it or not, so we need to remember, even if you don't see it, we stand in faith. And even if you don't see it right now, we learned this last week, even if you don't see it right now, you just continue to stand and you continue to believe Because it doesn't matter what you see. You have to know what the promises are and know that he's faithful. And you will reap the harvest of all of the things that he has prepared and established for you. And you won't even see the amazing ways that he's making it work out in your life. You won't even see it. Now, I want to take a few moments and look at the timeline of God's faithfulness. Now, I'm just challenging you with this because this is a little bit off. It's to our point, but it might take you some time. Just think about this after you leave, okay? There's one verse that's in there I want you to look at, but to me, this is a beautiful timeline and example of God's faithfulness. So realize that God did. He delivered her from the famine. He did that by moving her to the land of the Philistines. He delivered her during the 7 years of famine. He did that by providing for them while they were in the land of the Philistines. And while they were in the land of the Philistines, he also delivered her future, the land being restored and 7 years of productivity of that land. She didn't see it happening, but it was taking place. Now consider this verse, and this is what I want you to think about. This is 2 Corinthians. I told you it's all the book of 2 something. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10. And delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. Okay, look at that. Who delivered, already done, past tense. Who delivered us, and who does deliver us, and who will still deliver us. There's a timeline, and that your faith can soar. This is what I want you to contemplate. Your faith can soar when you have the knowing that no matter what you face in this world, no matter what you face, Jesus has already delivered you. He is still does deliver you, and he will in the future deliver you. So your faith reaps the harvest of past, present, and future blessings. Because in Jesus, all three, past, present, and future, in Jesus, all three are exactly the same. They're all already done in him. Jesus isn't bound by time. We live in the dimension of time. We can see things only in the now. I can only experience this presence standing here in front of you. I can go back and I can remember last Sunday when I was here. I can't go back to it. I can think about what it's going to look like next Sunday, but I can't be there. I can only be here in the now. But this is the timeline of Jesus' faithfulness. In Jesus, there is no then, now, and later. Jesus is not bound by time. Jesus is in all of it. It's all the same thing to him. So Jesus is not bound by time, and thus his promises to you are not bound by any kind of time. So from his perspective, from Jesus' perspective, everything is already done. The past, the right now, and the future promises are already done and established. From his perspective, they're done. This needs to become our perspective. Our perspective needs to be that same thing, that when we're looking ahead for things that we're believing for, that we know it's all the same to Jesus. He did deliver, he does deliver, and he will deliver in the future. They're all done already. So whether you see it or not, it's totally irrelevant. That's where we just trust in the Lord, and we know that even though we can't see everything he's doing, it's already done. He's doing amazing things and establishing them for us. One final point. So God's delivering all of their provisions while they're in the land of the Philistines. They could have very easily gotten comfortable in the land of the Philistines. They could have got comfortable because all their needs are being met. They could have got comfortable and stayed right there. But God has still met their needs? Yeah. I can show you other verses that would prove that. God will still meet their needs, but they would have missed the abundant blessing of all that God has. So one of the things we learn from this example of the Shunammite woman here in this chapter is we never get comfortable in the land of the Philistines. When you're in your season of famine, never get comfortable in the land of the Philistines. In other words, never get comfortable with the best that the world has to offer. Make sure that we're always looking towards the end and knowing that God has a greater abundance for us than anything that you experience in this world right now. Whatever you're experiencing, I guarantee you, God has more for you. God has an abundance more. Don't get comfortable in the land of the Philistines. So our story comes to a conclusion. And I know. Yeah. 8 weeks and our story comes to a conclusion. So the story concludes, and the story concludes with the woman being blessed, covered in blessings by God, back home in Shunem. And if you go back to that first week that we were talking about, in that first lesson on the Shunammite woman, we saw that the land of Shunem, where she's at, Shunem actually means, Shunem. Shunem actually means sleepy, or here's what I love, it means place of double rest. She's back home. She has all of her blessings, and she is in the place of double rest. This is a wonderful image for you and I to have in our faith. It's the place of double rest. Now, there's a lot of different ways you can look at this, but here's just one. There's a lot of different ways you could take this. I just want to give you this one example of what double rest is. In faith, we rest when we cease from our own efforts to resolve the problems and the difficulties and the issues of our life, and we just put our trust in Him. That gives us physical rest. So in other words, I'm not wearing myself out and exhausting myself in doing. Now, we still have to move forward in faith, but you don't have to do it. I did all those efforts to try to make that BCSN thing happen. All of my efforts were nothing. When I came to the place that I said, because I listened to my wife, Abraham, hearken unto all the things your wife Sarah says. It's one of the first things I learned. When I listened to my wife and I took my hands off and I just trusted in Him, He took care of those things. So that first rest is that physical rest. But also, it's our double rest. Because once we cease from doing, then we can experience the fullness of all of His blessings, the fullness of all of His victories in our lives. And that gives us rest in our souls, our minds, our emotions, because we're living and exemplifying the spiritual blessings that are ours. These are the examples. So, end it with this. Because I told you to keep focusing on Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. So again, don't be sluggish. Imitate those who in faith are inheriting the promises. Amen. Jesus, we thank You and praise You for Your word and all that You've shown us. And I just believe that as we go through this week, You continue to just speak this word into us. And let these stories just come back to our minds. And I know for each one of us, there's certain things in those verses that pertain specifically to our individual lives. And I know and believe that as we think about those things and meditate on those things, Holy Spirit, You're going to show each one of us, specifically for us, greater truths, greater revelation as it applies to us. We just say thank You, Jesus. You be glorified. Amen. And amen. Let's stand up and praise and worship as we conclude.